As global central bankers print their way towards an unsustainable bubble, how long until we see a spike in safe haven assets? That's one of the key topics that our next guest, Ronald Peter Sterfala, discusses in this must-watch interview. Beginning his investment career at a very young age, Mr. Sterfala jumped through the ranks of high finance. He is currently the managing partner and fund manager at Incrementum AG. Mr. Sterfala first gained public prominence when he called for $2,300 gold at a time when it sat at $500. Due to central banking misappropriation, he sees another massive opportunity, which you can read about at crushthestreet.com/trust. We may be on the precipice of an economic paradigm shift, so you can't afford to miss this vital information. Once again, please go to crushthestreet.com/trust. So without further ado, here's Ronald Peter Sterfala.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into crushthestreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amadori, and I'm joined today with the very popular, the authority, the figurehead himself, Ronald Peter Sterfala of the Incrementum Fund. He's a CMT managing partner and fund manager of Incrementum AG. He's become somebody who really is the authority in the precious metal space. These reports are the encyclopedias and really where the community turns to for some of the best research and information in the precious metal space year after year. So it's a real pleasure to have him on the show with us today. And I just want to let everyone know, if you want a copy of the report, and if you want to be among the first to receive the 2019 report, visit crushthestreet.com/trust, and you can get the reports there. And we'll be sure to send everyone the 2019 report as soon as it's out. So without any further ado, Ronald, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for being on the show again. Very much appreciated.
Well, you put out this brand new report, monetary U-turns. You know, we're going to be discussing gold here in this conversation today. But let's start off with, you know, what we're seeing today. I mean, I think we got to address gold here on March 28th, 2019, gold is down nearly $20. We're looking at it below $1,300. My goodness, Ronald, what's going on right now?
Good question. I honestly really didn't expect such a big smackdown. But I think, you know, if we take a step back and just watch the bigger picture, I think it looks pretty well. Today we are, of course, seeing that the dollar is going through the roof. We're seeing that bond yields are not, I mean, it's we're seeing a collapse in bond yields. We've got I've just updated the number. Now we've got $10.4 trillion in negative yielding bonds, up $500 billion in the last 2 days. So there is a big move into bonds, which of course means that market participants are getting more and more cautious regarding the economy and regarding they want to hedge against recession risks. So there is some slight divergence, I would say, between the bond market and the equity market. From my point of view, the bond market is most of the times right. So I think stocks should follow, should go down the next couple of weeks. And you know, when it comes to gold, I'm pretty relaxed. I think we're at the beginning of this so-called public participation phase. Ken, I know, you know, I'm talking to many institutional investors. I'm talking to high net worth individuals. I'm talking to retail investors. I'm talking to cab drivers, Uber drivers nowadays, to bartenders, whatever. And I think there's a strong feeling, everybody kind of senses, that this liquidity party that central banks created by printing $18 trillion out of thin air. Everybody feels that this liquidity party is over and that we're on the verge of a recession. So I know that many big investors are waiting on the sidelines at the moment. They want to enter gold. And I think sooner or later, there will be a really significant institutional demand coming into the gold market. So I think, you know, the fourth quarter 2018 was a big warning shot when every asset class basically went down. But gold. And from my point of view, I think the risk-reward ratio when it comes to gold is excellent.
So Ronald, one of the things we saw in the fourth quarter there, if we go back to November, was the 10-year treasury bond was 3%, you know, closer to 3%. And now we're getting closer to 2%. You know, I think I'm looking at it now, it's like 2.3, 2.4% on the treasury 10-year. I mean, what's going on? So people are moving into bonds and, you know, rates are coming down. And does that largely have to do with just the Fed's decision to ease interest rates in this turbulent time?
Yeah, well, if we again take a step back, I think, you know, 2018 and beginning of 2019 was basically the first time in 10 years that central banks were supposed to be taking liquidity out of the market. So we went from a 10-year QE party to a globalized quantitative tightening environment. It was not only the Federal Reserve by introducing quantitative tightening, it was also the ECB, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, and so on, that became more hawkish, more restrictive last year. And I think the markets realized that in Q4 2018. And now we have seen this big monetary U-turn by the Federal Reserve. This is exactly what we had been forecasting in our last pieces. So Jay Powell made this U-turn. And I think, you know, we will not be long before we see rate cuts. And I think the bond market is kind of sniffing that. We are seeing that large parts of the yield curve are already inverted, which is a very, very reliable sign that we're on the verge of a recession. We've got a very downbeat assessment of the economic backdrop by the Federal Reserve. We have seen that the yield curve, the flat to inverted yield curve, is killing the banks. The S&P financials was down more than 5% last week. So I think that at the moment, you know, recession risks, they are priced higher by the market now. A couple of months ago, nobody had expected a recession. And you can have a look at my Twitter account. I tweeted out #recession2019. Quite a lot last year and the last couple of quarters. So from my point of view, the US economy is probably already in a pre-recession phase or perhaps already in a recession, which is from my point of view no problem at all, because a recession is just a reallocation of resources. It makes the system more stable. So therefore, it's for the long term, it's something healthy. But of course, as an investor, you have to be cautious. And we crunched the numbers, and gold is one of the very, very best recession hedges, because gold discounts that there will be fiscal and monetary stimulus. And the Chinese have already started with this massive fiscal and monetary stimulus in fall last year. And we can see now, the last couple of weeks, every major central bank became much more dovish. So I think that lower rates, more QE, MMT, which is like the big buzzword nowadays, modern monetary theory, or as Dave Rosenberg just wrote, magical money tree. So I think those things will be implemented. The new appointed Fed member, Stephen Moore, he came out, said the Fed should lower rates by 50 basis points right away. There are many comments and studies coming out regarding negative interest rates in the US. So I think this is going to be the perfect storm for gold when we're seeing a move from a slightly hawkish central bank environment to an extremely dovish central bank environment.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people are bullish on President Trump, and for good reasons in certain aspects. But at the same time, you know, the type of spending that we're seeing coming out of Washington is astronomical records. I mean, we had the record monthly deficit in February under an administration which claims to be conservative, right? And it's just one of those things where, you know, everything seems fine because asset prices are going up. The stock market is doing well. Real estate prices are going up. And we have the wealth effect that continues to just grow everything. And when you have that wealth effect going on, people feel good, right? They feel strong, yeah. Economically strong.
Yeah.
But in reality, there's a lot of underlying fundamentals that are crumbling. And maybe you could touch on that a little bit here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we have seen for the US, we have seen three consecutive deficit expansions in times of continuing economic growth, which is quite unusual. So Jeff Gundlach, he just said, now Keynesian seems to mean that you stimulate all the time. So the fiscal expansion by the Trump administration, of course, it had an impact, but a very short-lived impact on the economy. So perhaps they bought time and now we're only in the eighth inning of this expansion. But of course, we're seeing falling marginal utility of debt. So you need more and more debt to have an effect. It's like, you know, I don't know if you did some sports and then you go for a beer, the first sip of beer, the first glass of beer tastes excellent. But, you know, beer number 4, 5, 6, you've seen declining marginal utility. So it doesn't taste that good anymore. And it's the same with debt that we're seeing at the moment. We need lots of new debt creation to see an effect. But at the moment, and this is really important, at the moment we're running out of gas in our economic engine, because the Fed policy is still somewhat tight. I would say over the past four weeks, M1 has contracted 16% annualized, while M2 growth, the broader monetary aggregate, is at 1% growth, and MZM, money zero maturity, at 2%. So we're seeing very, very muted, very slow monetary growth, and we would need significantly more to have an effect on the economy. So from my point of view, if we compare the balance sheets of the Bank of Japan, for example, which has already done 11 rounds of QE, to the Federal Reserve, we can see that based on the balance sheet in relation to the GDP, we also got a great chart on that in our chart book. You know, there's plenty of room for the Federal Reserve to expand its balance sheet. The Japanese are already above 100%, while the Fed currently is at, I think, 17%. So there's no doubt for me that there will be massive quantitative easing by the Federal Reserve at some point again. But we will need significantly more than those $85 billion that we have seen the last time because of this falling marginal utility. So I think in the next round of QE, the Fed might also buy, you know, stocks, REITs, whatever. I think they will buy significantly more and not only will be active on the bond side.
So Ronald, let's talk about gold as at the moment. Since November, we've really seen a turnaround despite the smashdown we saw today. But taking that into consideration, are we seeing some momentum, positive momentum, that's going to build some you know, real legs here and take it to 1350, 1400, and, you know, really get it into some sort of material bull run in short order here? Or is this something that could kind of fizzle away here, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, technically, I think, you know, the picture looks okay at the moment. We should not forget that March has a very, very weak seasonality. And now the next couple of months, from a seasonal point of view, will be significantly better. You mentioned this massive resistance at 1360 to 1380. I think once we're above that, I think there will be institutional players coming into the market, investors demand from ETFs, and so on. This will probably really be the game changer. And then once we're above that, there's a significant amount of volume kicking in from trend followers, from managed futures, and so on. So I think once we're above that massive resistance, we can go to 1450, 1500 easily. So that would be the positive view. I think from a longer term perspective, we should not forget that this whole de-dollarization is picking up momentum. In fact, it's really going mainstream. It's something that we write about for 3 years now. And I think, you know, the whole world wants to de-dollarize. We are seeing it with, for example, the so-called axis of gold. That's China, Russia, Turkey, but also India, Kazakhstan, boosting their gold reserves, while on the other hand, also getting rid of US treasuries. Then we are seeing that countries like Poland, Hungary, Romania, for the first time in ages, they started buying gold. We have seen 650 tons of gold that were bought by central banks last year. That's the highest amount in 50 years. And then we are also seeing the repatriation of gold. So countries want to get their gold back into their own country because there is some sort of lack of trust nowadays. So from my point of view, central banks, they use cheap prices to strengthen their central bank reserves. That is a very, very important trend that we should follow. And, you know, when it comes to the current picture, I always show this chart of gold in several currencies. And everybody is staring at the dollar price of gold. We should not forget that in Canadian dollar terms or in Australian dollar terms, gold is trading very close or even at new all-time highs. We should not forget that in euro terms, gold is up 4% since the beginning of the year. So on average, gold is basically rising in every currency at the moment, which is a very, very strong sign. Now, the beauty of it is that the sentiment is still extremely negative. So I think there's a massive divergence between price performance and the actual sentiment. And that's normally a very, very good sign. So from my point of view, I think that if we really enter this public participation phase this year, I think we're going to have lots of fun in this market. And, you know, Jim Grant, I really adore him. He said, the only permanent truth in finance is that people will get bullish at the top and bearish at the bottom. And gold is rising, but people are still extremely bearish, which is, from my point of view, a tremendous sign.
Wow. All right, Ronald, I want to bring up one other topic here, and that is Bitcoin. Because if we were having this conversation a year and a half ago and discussing the crypto markets, which we did, you know, you might be looking at crypto, and many were looking at crypto as, well, what's going on over here where we're all invested heavily in precious metals and look what's going on in Bitcoin. But we've been in basically a pretty depressed crypto market since, what, January of 2018?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on crypto in general? Do you believe in the technology? Do you believe it in it as monetary potential for the future? Not necessarily to usurp or sidestep gold, but just something to compete with other fiat currencies. Do you still believe in that, or do you believe in that at all?
No, I think what we're seeing at the moment is that the, how do you say in English, that the wheat is separated from the chaff.
Right. So
I think lots of rubbish projects and businesses, they're just going out of business. They have to go out of business, which is a very good sign. It's a healthy sign. But we can also see, which is pretty interesting from my point of view, that volatility in crypto markets is extremely low at the moment. I mean, we're hanging in there between 3,900 and 4,000 for Bitcoin. All of the other major cryptocurrencies are also fairly stable at the moment. So I think the market is quite balanced out at the moment. We have also the crypto research report. Colleagues of mine published this kind of sister report of the In Gold We Trust report on a quarterly basis. And last year in March, we wrote that we are in crypto winter. So that we're in a severe bear market. So we didn't make any investments in the crypto space. But now I think it's looking more and more interesting again, because during that bear market, I think there were many innovations taking place. Many large institutional players were stepping into the market or preparing to enter the market. So I think, you know, there will be a next leg up. If it's going to start now or in a couple of months, I really don't know. But I think the technology is here to stay. I think, you know, Bitcoin is bottom up. It's something like a combination of numismatics and Esperanto language. I think it's a true innovation, and it's no coincidence that there are large similarities between Bitcoin and gold. You are mining Bitcoin. The symbol of Bitcoin is actually a gold coin. The stock to flow ratio is very similar. So the natural inflation of gold and of Bitcoin is very, very low and very stable, and it can be forecasted. So I think that Bitcoin is, I don't think it's really a competition, because, you know, the gold market at the moment is like 800 trillion, and cryptocurrencies, I think they used to be 800 billion at the top. At the moment, the market cap of Bitcoin is 70 billion. So it's not really a competitor to gold. And on the other hand, I think, you know, competition is something great. It's the basis of capitalism, of course, and it makes the product for the consumer better, and therefore I truly welcome Bitcoin, because people, and especially young people, they now discuss they discuss money again, and this is a very, very important discussion that we haven't seen in the last couple of years. So there is a discussion if Bitcoin is money, if it's better money than the US dollar, if it's more stable, what's the prerequisites for a stable currency, for stable money. So I think I really, really embrace this idea. I think from an investor's point of view, it's highly asymmetric at the moment. And I think, you know, Bitcoin or crypto and gold, it's not, you know, they are not enemies. I think they are more friends. There's lots of great projects combining physical gold and blockchain technology. We're going to update the chapter from last year's report, presenting the most interesting projects combining those two technologies. So from my point of view, I'm very open. And in fact, most of the scene that is in the field of Austrian School of Economics understands and really embraces the crypto revolution.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And it's so true. This is competition for fiat currencies. Whenever you look at competition, it's always good from an objective perspective. Maybe we don't always like competition personally, because we want the edge. We want to be able to win. And, you know, we want our projects, you know, selfishly to move on. But objectively, for the good of society, competition is great. It makes
absolutely
everybody better.
Yeah.
And the only people who don't like competition in the world are these governments. And the governments don't like competition. They don't like gold. They don't like, you know, Bitcoin for that matter. And, you know, and of course they speak out of both ends of their mouth. They vocally say they're not interested in gold, but yet central banks around the world are having their biggest year over year purchasing.
Yeah.
Ever, right. And so it's such a dichotomy, and you got to really be considering what the big money in the world is doing at the moment. And if you do that, you gotta turn your attention to gold at the moment. And that's something we certainly are doing here at Crush the Street. And it's one of the reasons I felt it was very timely to have you on the show, Ronnie, if people want to learn more about you, your work, please let them know where they can go and what they can expect to find.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ken. We are working 24/7 on our upcoming In Gold We Trust report. It will be published on the 28th of May. Only some weeks left. We will publish it, as always, in German and in English, in a long, extended version, probably 250 pages. So you have to reserve at least a weekend to work through the report. But there will also be a compact version with like 50, 70 pages. For the first time, we will also publish a Mandarin version. So we will enter the Chinese market. I'm heading off to Hong Kong on the weekend. We are doing lots of cooperations with Chinese companies now. Of course, the market is extremely interesting. And in general, what we do at Incrementum, we're doing fund management, mostly in the precious metal space and in the commodity space. Then we're doing wealth management for high net worth individuals. And then we've got the research department with the In Gold We Trust report and cryptocurrency report. You can find out more about Incrementum on our webpage, incrementum.li. So we're based in Liechtenstein, very small country in the center of Europe, very stable jurisdiction, one of five countries without any government debt. And you can find out more about the In Gold We Trust report on our webpage, ingoldwetrust.report. You can register, you can download the report for free. And as I've said, the new one will be published on 28th of May. So stay tuned.
Well, we'll have the links in the description area. Ronald, thanks for coming on crushthestreet.com with me today.
Thanks a lot, Ken. It's been a pleasure as always. And we'll probably do an update after the release of our report.
Well, I look forward to that.
Thank you very much, Ken.